Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Thank you again for joining us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we come to share God's Word. We'd ask you to join us now in devotion. If we could have Mark Bryant would sing a song, Dr. Nooks would read the scripture, and I will lift us and lead us in prayer.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us around the United States and around the world. We thank you for joining us in Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. Today we'll have the song, Jesus, You're the Center of My Joy. Will be followed by scripture and then prayer. Jesus, You're the center of my joy, and all that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, You're the center of my joy. When I'm lost and lonely, You take away my fears. When I'm all alone, You're right there by my side. The voices of the children, my family and my home, Your source that I've been looking for. Oh, Jesus, You're the center of my joy. And all that's good and perfect, it comes from You. Oh, You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, You're the center of my Jesus, You're the center of my Jesus, You're the center of my joy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is taken from, our foundational text is taken from 1 John, 1st chapter, verses 6 through 10. Well, it really is verses 5 through 10. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar, and showing that His Word has no place in our hearts.
Amen. Would you come with me and join me in prayer? God, we come before You and we praise You and we glorify You. Approach Your throne, O God. We ask that You help us move from repentance to becoming a new creation. This is our lesson for this month, Lord, and we're asking that You would lead, God, and direct us through the Holy Spirit, that You would help us, O God, understand, do we need to repent? And Lord, as we come before You, we're asking that You would open our spiritual eyes so that we might have clear understandings of the books of Acts, Peter, and Mark. We ask these blessings tonight and trust that You will be with us. In Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us from all around to be a part of Your Place of Connection Bible study. Tonight we are talking about the theme from repentance to becoming a new creation. Dr. James Nooks is going to be our instructor for the month of March. We're so excited and glad whenever he always chooses to teach our class. Next month we'll have Lester Carver who will be teaching us. And we are just so excited for the blessings that God gives us as God brings people in our midst to give us a lesson. So tonight we have Dr. Nooks. And Dr. Nooks, if you are ready, we have 4 weeks with you, March 7th, March 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. And if you are ready to go, go, let's go, let's go.
My sisters and brothers in Christ and those that are on the line that are maybe listening in, we have a lesson about from repentance to becoming a new creation. And I chose this subject because it seems that there are many that are deceiving people about what we need to do to really become that new creation in God. And it seems that what is wrong is being made to be right in many people's eyes, and it seems that we don't need to do certain things to be in fellowship with God. All we have to do is go to church, show up, act like we believe, and everything's going to be all right. And then we wonder what happens when we are far from God. So we want to look at four subjects and looking at this. Do I need to repent? Do I need to confess? And is faith in God required? And how can I move from grief to being a new creation? When I say grief, that's grieving over what our life has been to what our life should be in Christ. So we have those subjects tonight, and I'd like to begin a discussion by asking, is it becoming more difficult to know what is sin or what is wrong in our culture today? And I open that question up to those that are participating in the study tonight. Is it becoming more difficult to know what is sin or what is wrong in our culture today?
Wow.
Who do we have on the line?
We get a roll call here tonight?
Yes.
Lester? What?
Hey, Matt. So I asked this, Mark, what do you think about that question? Is it becoming more difficult to know what is sin in our culture today?
I think it really is. I think in many cases, many people subscribe a lie or false statements or false accusations as truth based on who says it, how loud they say it, and how many times they can say it, as if you say a lie more times or louder, the lie becomes the truth. And I think too many times in our society, that has become not only a perception, but that perception has become our reality versus recognizing the truth is the truth is the truth. And the truth shall always stand when a lie will always fall.
Amen. Amen. Lester, Dr. Susie, you have some input into that?
I have an interesting thought in regard to that. My main thought is that culture, sin has always been what it is. It's simply televised and over the airwaves and over the satellites, you know, wherever you go. You have more immediate access to it through the internet, right? But it's always been there. The thing that really hits home for me is that the church needs to be the church. There are things that Christians must do. And if the Christians are doing the things they're supposed to be doing and the things they're not supposed to be doing, you're not going to see. But in the world is always going to be the world. It's always been the world. And in Revelation 22:11, God tells the wicked to continue to be wicked. And then he tells the righteous to continue to be righteous. What's important is that we are true to who we are. Not that we're perfect, but we are seeking to please God at all times. We're seeking to serve God at all times. We're seeking to trust God at all times. And we're seeking to operate in faith. And if we're not, then we are being more like the world. And so just to make it real simple, because a lot of times we want to point fingers at the world, and the world's just being the world. God told them, go on, because I'm going to get glory from that too in the day of judgment, right? But today, God wants glory from Christians by you doing what you're supposed to be doing by being the righteousness of God in the earth. That's my thought.
Amen. And Dr. Susie. It's becoming more difficult to know what is sin in our culture today.
Well, this is Dr. Susie, and I think that, you know, I agree with everything that people are saying on the line tonight. The reality is that what was clearly marked as right and wrong has become that which is subjective, and the markations that we had have been blurred with the world's perspective. I mean, God is clear about what it is that God perceives. However, I think we as the church have accepted and blended some of the markations. But nonetheless, God's word is not going to change.
Amen. Amen. Our subject for this evening is, do I need to repent? And, you know, I've heard so many people say that, you know, I don't really know what a few people say, I don't know that what I've done that I need to repent for. And it just blows my mind. But there are those that believe that they don't need to repent. And, you know, these are obvious, there's obvious answers to these questions. Do I need to repent? All believers should know that they need to repent. I mean, it shouldn't even be a hesitation. But if people don't believe, well, I just ask this question, and then I want to get into the text. Will people seek repentance if they don't believe they've sinned?
Or if they do. Nowadays,
will people seek repentance if they don't believe they've done anything to seek repentance for? I mean, if there is a warped sense of what is right and sin, And people, it's what is right, wrong seems right, and people are getting things mixed up. Will they seek repentance if they don't think they've done anything wrong?
Dr. Susie, I don't think so. I don't think they will seek repentance if they don't perceive they've done anything wrong.
I think that, you know, for the most part, this is Mark, I think most won't, but all, you know, the Bible speaks of all sin comes short of the glory of God. So in whatever estimates one may perceive that they don't have sin, the fact that they were born on this earth, leaves them with the fact that they are in sin. And so if they logically come to that point or learn that point, I would presume, I can't assume, but I would presume that they would understand that I am in a state of sin, and the only way that I can leave this state of sin is to recognize God and open my heart to God.
Amen. But there are many people that do not have the spiritual background that those that are on the call tonight have. And to them, the life that they're leading is okay. And many of them don't see that they need repentance. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And in preparation for that, I think we are being deceived in a big way by Satan. And, you know, I just ask in preparation for that, we look up two scriptures, Ephesians 6:10-13, and somebody can find that. Brother Lester, do you have a Bible with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ephesians 6:10-13, and somebody gets Romans 13:10-14. Brother Mark, do you have a Bible?
13.
Okay, you got it, Dr. Susie? Okay. This was in preparation for our text on repentance, because I believe we are being deceived. Brother Lester?
Okay. All right, Ephesians 6:10-13.
Yeah.
It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Many evils lie along the path. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and controlled by him."
Amen. Is that 13-13?
You know what? I accidentally picked up the wrong Bible. Here we go.
Okay.
It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand."
Amen. So if we don't have the whole armor of God, are we susceptible to the wiles of the devil?
Absolutely.
Amen.
That's what it
says. And we need truth, we need righteousness, we need a helmet of salvation. I mean, we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if we don't have these things, then we are susceptible, and we can be Christians and not be walking in these things. So, I mean, we can be deceived even if we're Christians. If we are truly believers in God, we won't lose our salvation, but we can be deceived. And maybe some of the jewels we ought to have in our crown we won't have. But we need to understand that we're not separated from or free from, or to the point that we are not able to be deceived. And it's so important for us to realize that when it comes to repentance, because we need to ask God for repentance even if we're saved. Because we do some wrong things, don't we? Christians?
Amen.
Amen. So also in preparation for this repentance, do I need to repent? That's a question. And we're asking this question for our listening audience because we need to look at what we need to do to get to the point of being a new creation in God and to stay and walk in this newness of life. So let's look at Romans 13, 10 through 14.
Romans 13, 10 to 14, reading from the NIV version. Romans 13, 10 through 14. Is that right?
Yes, amen.
10 says, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Amen. So what does that say to you, Dr. Susan, about our state, as what we ought to be, who we ought to be now? What does that mean when it says awake out of sleep? Now is the time.
Well, I thought about Representative Maxine Waters, how the young generation is always saying, you need to wake up. Wake up. Be aware. Look around you. See what's going on. That the time is passing, and we need to understand the darkness that's around us. We need to understand that the darts are being cast. We need to understand that we need to have on the armor and the things that went with that chapter you just read. We need to be prepared and not to be caught off guard doing things that do not put us in a posture to be receptive and unto the Lord, but to have ourselves clothed with Jesus. So, and that's what
Amen.
Moves us towards being that new creation.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Mark, you have anything to say about this? Waking out of sleep?
Brother Britt is on the line.
Brother Britt.
As well.
Amen. It's time for us to awake out of sleep.
This is Mark.
Amen.
I truly think that that we should awake out of our sleep, but also recognize the tools that have allowed us prosper in these specific and special times. And I really think it really comes down to the scripture where it speaks of that we fight not against flesh and blood. We fight not against those things that we can see and touch and feel and those things that we are familiar with, but we fight against spirits and principalities in high places. And the way that we fight those spirits in high places is to put on our armor of God. We've got to use the tools that God has given us to fight the situation before it even comes to reality, because we're fighting in spirit. We're not fighting. We tend to be reactive. And when you react to something, you're not thinking about it. You're not being responsive. You're not being cognitive about it. You're not even dealing with the situation from a spiritual point or even a natural point because you stop thinking. We've got to understand where we are and fight an evil spirit and that which is against us from a spiritual point before we do anything else. You know, that comes from prayer, that comes from fasting, that comes from putting on the full armor of God.
Amen. Amen. Brother Lester, do you have anything to say about this waking out of sleep?
Absolutely. And when it comes down to awakening out of sleep, repentance has to do with turning away from serving sin. And one of the tricks of the devil is to confuse people between the difference of temptation, being tempted, and sin, and understanding that temptation is not sin, because it says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. We know Jesus Christ did not sin. However, one of the tricks of the devil is to convince you, oh, you've been tempted, you've done this, and you've done that, and you've done this. You might as well go all the way. And the best analogy of this whole thing that I've seen was a pastor who was on the top step of a chancel, and he went down one step, and he went down another step, and he showed how those steps were temptation. But that final step is the difference between temptation and sin, right? And you have to resist the trap of the devil trying to make you feel guilty about being tempted. Hey, we're only human. If you remember, Jesus Christ was tempted in all things like as we are, right? You don't have to ever feel bad or put yourself in condemnation about being tempted, because we're as human as he was, and he was tempted. But remember that he didn't sin. And if he didn't sin, it means it's possible for us not to sin if we call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we decide we're going to turn away from serving sin, that means we're going to change directions. We're going to go from walking toward the devil and the ways of the world toward walking toward God. And the fact is, you can't face north and south at the same time. You're going to face one or the other. And God is saying, I want you to turn from the south and face me and
Amen.
Head north.
Amen. Amen. So it's time. It's high time for us to wake out of sleep. And we know that all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I think you said that earlier, Brother Lester. And so it's important for those that are listening in to understand that all of us have sinned. All of us have messed up. And that's a foundational thing for our faith, is for us to understand that we need to repent. And we don't believe that we've sinned. And this is the deception of Satan, trying to get us to believe that what we're doing is okay. Whatever I do is okay. This is my thing. I'm doing my thing. You don't be messing with me. Don't be telling me God said this or God said that. I'm going to do my own thing. Somebody want to say something there?
This is Dr. Susie. I think if we look at that text, it's also talking about how God is trying to get us to understand the role of love as
Amen.
Being a Christian, and how love is our responsibility, and we oftentimes want to put that aside and not be responsible or held accountable for divine love. I think Paul was wanting us to be clear about how we have to have a spirit of vigilance and industriousness about being waking up from our slumber, that we need to be alert, because we need to understand that, you know, Christ is returning, and is nearer. The returning time is nearer now than we believed initially, and each passing day in the faith brings final salvation and deliverance closer, and we have to be adamant about, the Bible says in Timothy, working out our salvation. I'm studying to show ourselves approved is what I'm trying to say. And so you know, we need to be prepared. But it's about having that relationship, and I think we talk about this all the time, having a relationship with God so that we can grow in an understanding of what God wants from us, so that when the time comes, right now, you know, Christ is absent, and you know, as far as understanding or believing, as I don't believe that we're in the rapture has already occurred for me, but and I think Christ is going to return. I don't think that I do believe for me that the enemy is still having his heyday with our world, but Christ has the keys. I still believe Christ has the keys to the world, but as a result, there's still chaos being rent by the enemy, which is the reason why we're told to put on the armor of light and understand that those wicked darts are being sent. And because of that, we have to be alert and ready for battle.
Amen. And those of us that are listening in, we may not make it to the rapture, but I'm seeing more and more every day when I see people, when I go and visit people that are sick and in hospice. Many of these people are younger than me, and they're dying. So if you die and the rapture hasn't come, then your time is over here. So, you know, Paul is saying we need to get ready for our salvation. We need to get ready for, we should be doing better than what we did when we first got saved. But there are many that aren't saved that might be listening in. And also, your time is running out. So what we're saying is that we need to acknowledge that we need to repent, that we've done some wrong things in our lives. And sometimes it takes a little bit of knocking down for us to see that. And then we need to seek repentance.
And Dr. Nooks, we have to be in a posture of being accountable for loving. You know,
yes.
We can't just sit back and not think that because my neighbor didn't do right or somebody else, that we don't have a sense of accountability. We are accountable to be love. And that's really what's germane for those of us who claim to be Christians. So we have to walk in that even when it's difficult, even when others around us are not being or living according to what God has called us to be, and that's children of love. But we still are accountable for what we have to do.
Amen. And I think that's so important, Dr. Susie, because sometimes I think we get mixed up as Christians as to what's important. How do we demonstrate to the world, to anybody, that we are Christians? You know, is it that we follow the Bible? Is it that we know text? Is it that we pray every day? Is it that we go to church every time the doors are open? We demonstrate to people that we are Christians by the fact that we love. So if we don't have love, then we're not really a part of God. I mean, God is love.
Amen.
If we go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, every whatever it is, if we try to follow the commandments, and if we miss out on love, then we miss the whole message of who Jesus is and what God is and what God is all about. So, you know, what Dr. Susie is saying is absolutely right. I mean, you go to a church, and if the people in the church are following, you're reading the scripture and they're praying and they treat you mean and they don't show love, then I think they're missing something. There's something wrong. And we as Christians need to demonstrate love. People need to see the love of God in us.
So, and we have to be accountable for that. We can't just stay there and not speak to love. I mean, Christ died so that we could, for love. So to not be able to stand up and speak on behalf of love, I think would be remiss to, you know, to act as if it's okay to be in a church that is not promoting love. I mean, somebody once told me that there was a bum that came in the street, and at the beginning of the service, and the bum came in, he was smelly. He had a beard. His clothes were disheveled, and the people in the church shunned him, and they mistreated him, and really didn't mind if he stayed or left. They preferred that he left. And so, in the beginning of this service, they were hiring a new minister, and the deacon went to the front of the church, and he called the name of the pastor, the new pastor who was going to serve in the church. And the new when they called the pastor forward, it was the bum who got up on the stage, and he went to them, and he said, "You know what? This church has a lot that it needs to learn. This church has a lot that it needs to change." Because he came as a person who appeared to be in need, looking, and he talked about how the whole congregation shunned him. That is not how you treat people with love. And so that's how he began his ministry, of reminding us that how we treat people, you know, when they come in our congregations, when they come around us, we shouldn't be caught up in how they look, how they smell, what they say, you know, the externals. We need to be showing something from within us to reach out to something within them.
Well, let's go even further. What if that minister who had changed his appearance became a look to look like a person that's of the street, was a different color? He now is a black man.
Wow, and there it is.
He walks up to a congregation of so many thousands, and he indicates that we are living a lie. Are we even accepting of the truth, even because of who it comes from? Because now,
come on,
this isn't a white man, but it's a black man. He just so happens to be telling the truth. Is that truth different because he's a different color?
Take it a step further, Brother Mark. Make it a woman, a black woman.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, if it's a woman, it not only it goes beyond question of color, it's a question of confidence. How can you as a woman tell us who and what should we do? And even further, not even recognizing the competency level that most people should have is how you treat the women is how a nation is a reflection of how you treat a nation.
Amen.
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 I wanted to go and do maybe two or three scriptures before our time is up. Can somebody get 2 Peter 1:3-9? 2 Peter 1:3-9. Somebody get that? Brett, you got a Bible? Yeah, 2 Peter 1:3-9. And I want somebody to get Acts 3:17-20.
This is Brett. I got a bad cold. Yeah, this is Brett.
Oh,
I got a bad cold. So.
Okay, that's all right. Somebody else can get it.
So what do you want first, Peter?
Second Peter 1:3-9. You got that, Mark?
Yes. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very passion, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever does not have them, this is nearsighted and blind. forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So what does this tell you about repentance and about what we should be doing as Christians?
What it tells me is that we should recognize that when God gives us, first of all, we've got to come to God and seek repentance, no matter who we are. And then after we have received his forgiveness, then we cannot live in our past sins, nor be held accountable for our past sins. So we are a new creature in Christ.
Amen. And what are some of the promises that God has given us as far as our divine nature? Given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The kind of things that we should be doing are self-control with patience, endurance, patient endurance with godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I think this is real important that we would remember faith involves God's power. We know how as Christians we begin with faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we know Christ personally, we experience God's power. And this power produces life and godliness in us. It says the unsaved sinner is dead and only Christ can raise him from the dead. So when Jesus raised Lazarus, he said, loose him and let him go. It's time to get rid of our grave clothes. It's time to understand, as the lady was saying, to wake up. It's time to understand that you've been born into the family of God and you're born complete. It's time to realize that God has given everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need. We just need to walk into it. We need to claim it. We need to speak it. We need to act like we believe it and understand that we are complete in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And that ninth verse, I think, is really significant. Those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins.
Yeah, and Dr. Nix, as you're talking about that, you know, we often talk about how as a Christian we got to grow. See, some people been on the nipple, and they don't want to get off of it. They don't want to drink. They don't want to eat any food because eating food means you got to chew and you got to digest. And I think oftentimes we just want to drink and so it goes straight that we don't have to do any work. And we have to understand that we have to work. It's not something that we can just blink our eyes through osmosis is going to happen. We need to, it's just like a butterfly. Or caterpillar who's trying to be in transformation. If you cut the caterpillar, if you stop the caterpillar from squeezing through that cocoon, then you stunt his growth because it's the work that he has to do to squeeze and to push that helps him become the butterfly. If you notice, if you got a kid who tries to help the caterpillar and they cut the cocoon, he can't form. He can't grow. He can't blossom. So God wants us to understand that we have to do something. We have to grow. We have to push. We have to transform. And so that we can, when we get to heaven, we look like Jesus. We become like Jesus. Our character and conduct. We have used that DNA to manifest itself.
You know, there's
There's another level to what you're saying, Dr. Beavers. There's another level. What you're saying is that the DNA is what drives the cocoon to, you know, to produce the butterfly, right? That caterpillar becomes the cocoon and becomes, but it is that spiritual DNA and the Holy Spirit that you receive when you are saved and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that begins the process. And that process is going to happen. It is going to come to fruition. Now, we have to be taught and we have to learn to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit producing that perfect work in us, right? And then when we do fall short, remember that we get grace and mercy every day because we're going to need it. The grace is the power, and the mercy is to make a way when we fall short. And if we believe we don't need mercy, then the question would be, why is God giving you new mercy every day? So that's why God says, you know, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. Now, Christians, we don't practice sin because we repented and turned away from serving sin. And there's a difference between serving sin and sinning.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't just leave it out there. Finish.
So the point is we are to embrace God's process, and then every day at the beginning of the day, when you pray to God, thank him for the new grace, which is his enabling power, right? And it is his unmerited favor, all those great things we get that we don't deserve, and it's that mercy, which is the judgment that we do deserve that we don't get, that whooping that, you know, when you fall short and you slap somebody or you chew somebody out or you go gossiping or God knows whatever else you might do, right? But understand that God is not going to let that one thing you did disqualify you from the rest of his assignment for you for that one day. And that's the other thing we have to learn is to live within 24-hour compartments of time so we're not worried about yesterday and we're not afraid about what's going to happen tomorrow. We're focused on today and how we're using God's grace and mercy today.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go back and let's look at Acts 3:17 through 21. Somebody find that for us. Acts 3:17 through 21. Okay.
I have it. Acts 3:17 through 21 says, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Through 20 or 21?
Through 20.
That's it.
21, sorry. Through 21.
"He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." Amen.
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 "So now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away." So, you know, we talked earlier about sin and the fact that some people don't even believe they're sinning. But believe me, we do. So the remedy for sinning first is to believe in God and give your life to Christ. But then when we do sin, to repent. And I think Brother Lester talked about it earlier. That means turning and going in the other direction, away from the sin. So is there anything else we can get from this text here in Acts 3:17 through 21? Now I want us to look at Luke 13, 3-5. Luke 13, 3-5. And we probably should back up to 2. 2-5.
Luke 13, 2-5?
Yes.
I have it. Luke 13, okay. 2-5 says, Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galatians were worse sinners than all the other Galatians because they suffered this way? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Are those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish."
Amen. What does that say to you, Dr. Susie?
Well, this is this passage is clear, Dr. Nuss. I mean, it's not a if and or but. It's saying that we should repent. So the question that you asked in the beginning is, do we need to repent? And this
yes.
tells us over and over, if you have a question, if you need to repent, it's spelled out to you in several different contexts where he says in here, "I tell you, I tell you, I tell you." It's in it twice. You
Amen.
Too need to repent, or you will all perish.
Amen.
So, you know, again, this is a really important thing where Jesus is talking to the crowds and he's given these examples of the coming, you know, about destruction and how we need to understand that we have to, you know, he talked about the tower falling and those who were killed when the tower fell on them. But he was saying that being killed or not being killed is no measure of a person's unrighteousness or righteousness. Anybody can be killed, but only God's grace causes us to live. It's God's grace. And unless we repent, we're going to all perish. The death is the common denominator for all of us. So we're going to die. But it's only the repentance that can bring life and prepare us to enter the kingdom. We have to repent. We have to repent.
Amen. Amen. And I'd like to leave us with a question, and I'd like for some input from all those that are participating. What happens to our culture and our loved ones if we do not repent?
Mm.
What happens to our culture and our loved ones if we do not repent? And I'd like for all of those that are participating in the Bible study tonight to give some input to that. And we're talking to those that may be listening in that are maybe struggling with this issue of sin and repentance. Talk to them. Brett, can you talk at all? Can you share anything, Brett?
His throat. That's okay.
Then we'll just.
Well, I think
we'll just.
I'll try this and see. If you're the head of the family, it is your job to set an example for your kids and your loved ones. And by doing something, if you call yourself a Christian, you got to repent, because that's the only way you're going to even get to the door so that you can knock on it to get into heaven. And so I think
Amen.
by us following the rules that God has given us, that is just part of it. And without it, hey, what did he tell that man? He said it'd be easier for something to go through the eye of a needle. Remember that one? Yeah, there you go. And so I think that's the first step that we have to do, and to get ourselves in line so that we can pass through that gate when our time comes.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Lester Carver here. Hey, if we don't repent, we are not going to heaven because that's one of the requirements to be saved. You got to repent and be baptized and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and believe to speak in tongues and prophesy. Okay, I'm going all the way, right? Now, the thing is, if we don't, then the world will never see the love of God. The world will never see Christ in you because Christ won't be in you. He'll be in somebody else. And what that means to our children is that the legacy we leave them will be death, destruction, and disease. And, you know, if the more than abundant life, if you reject the more than abundant life, what you're saying to God is, I don't want mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial wholeness. I want to do it my own way and let the chips fall where they may. I'll take the dice and play the lottery instead of relying on the guaranteed promise of God in His Word.
Amen.
This is Mark. The scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. If we take advantage of this great opportunity to allow God to heal our land, we and our generations are better off. But there are those of us who will not seek His face. There are those of us who will not turn from our wicked ways and will be condemned to not flourish in the opportunity that God has for us. But that does not mean that our generations coming after us are condemned to that same fate, because God will that all should find Him so He can reconcile us unto Him. And so I don't condemn every generation that does not receive this gift, but I implore those who recognize this gift to take hold of it and never let go.
Amen. Amen. Susie.
Yes, you know, as I listen to everybody, I mean, we have had such a good comments tonight, and thank you so much for making it clear to us that there is something we have to do. We do have to repent. We do have to acknowledge where we are, because without repentance, we can't have, as Lester was saying, a relationship with God. And that's what's required to get in heaven, is that relationship with God. And what I would encourage everybody on the line that's listening to now to do some personal reflection, to understand that you didn't make it in this world because you woke up and had the gift of being able to make yourself in the right mind, or you could create your body and get your body to function the way it's supposed to, that, you know, you didn't have the gift to do all of those things, but there was a creator that was bigger than you, that runs this world and empowers us to have life. And we have to understand that as we submit to God and the authority of God, that we have to repent when we fall short. We have to ask for forgiveness, and to acknowledge and recognize that there is a Savior, and that that Savior is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And so when we understand that we have to repent and turn away from that which was not godly, and trust God and to walk in that newness of life, then there's celebration. So I encourage all of you tonight to join us in the celebration of understanding that God loves God's own, we, God's children, and that when we repent, that he's got arms open wide, he's prepared a feast, and that we will sup with the Lord and celebrate in heaven. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, I thank everybody for the study tonight. And the question, do we need to repent? I think it's clear that we do need to repent. We've had a lot of good comments and discussion about why and what happens when we do repent. So I'll leave that with turning it over to Dr. Susie and we're closing out. Next week we'll be answering the question, do we need to confess? Do we need to confess? So
I wanted to close out with Dr. Nux's final verse. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, and this is for all of us. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Amen.
Amen.
As we close,
Amen.
Are there any prayer requests or praise reports? Let me start off. Brother Eric is needs much prayer. He is not well, and he did a wonderful job of pushing to finish as he could last month. But we need to be steadfast in praying for him. I don't know how I can reinforce that, but I'm just asking you to authentically get on your knees and submit a prayer on behalf of your brother, and do so religiously. You know, he needs our prayers and support. Anybody else? I'd like to also lift up prayers for myself as I'm submitting my accreditation through NAVAC, asking God to give leadership as I'm looking for job opportunities. It's time to apply over and over and over and over and over. Here we go. So trusting that God will continue to manifest. Amen. Oh, lift up Jamie in Sydney. And Mark is on the line. Mark, you want to go next?
Yes. I wanted to first thank everyone for their prayers and their concerns. You know, I truly believe the affection, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And some things just happen through prayer and fasting. So, with that point, I just thank God for my prayer support because not only am I starting to see opportunities for interviews from looking from a job standpoint, but more importantly, I had my doctor call me last week and told me that I had no cancer.
Amen.
And so I just thank God for that because, you know, when you go through this process and you have cancer, you never know if it will come back. But you're still believing by faith that God is in control. And so even on behalf of our doctor, I'm praying and I'll be fasting on his behalf that he'll be healed because I truly believe that our prayers collectively get through, that we pray in faith for victory before it even happens. And we're not even seeking anything else but the victory. So that's my
Amen.
That's my prayer support.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And we would lift up Shawnette Brown. So Lester, would you close in prayer tonight? Lifting
sure,
up Shawnette.
Sure. Heavenly Father,
one more thing. Let me add one more person. Would you add Brother Carter. He's been on the line, and we often forget because he's on mute. So I ask that you lift him up as well. He's on the line faithfully. It's just that he's quiet, and so is Brother Diggs. And so we ask prayer for his church. There's a lot going on. So just asking Brother Lester that you would pray for our country as we are in chaos. Thank you.
Amen. Pray for me. Pray for me. This is James. I was in the hospital last week, and so I just pray for your healing also. Pray for healing.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dr. Nooks right now. God, touch his body, God. Father, allow him to embrace the wholeness that was paid for with the broken body of your son, Jesus Christ, God. I thank you for those stripes that he took on our behalf for our physical wholeness, God. I thank you for you manifesting that wholeness in the life of Mark and allowing the cancer to be removed from his body, God. I thank you for the rest of the healing that must take place to remove the pain and discomfort taking place, God. Father, I thank you for James and Sydney right now, and I thank you for you blessing them greatly, God, in all that they do, in their careers, in their education, God, in their life. Father, I thank you for how you're developing them into great individuals, God. I thank you for Shawnette right now, God. Father, I thank you for you just giving her the peace and power and praise that goes along with trusting in you. I thank you for honoring all of her hard work and her faithful, persistent seeking of your face, God. Father, I thank you for you giving her the peace that comes with knowing that you're always with her, God. Father, I thank you for Brother Carter, God. Father, I thank you for all those on the line, God. Father, I thank you for your presence in our life. I thank you for you blessing each and every individual on this line tonight and enabling us to see your hand in our country, God. Father, I thank you for the resilience of America. I thank you for the power in our creed of liberty and justice for all, God. Father, I thank you for Americans embracing what it means to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave and having absolute faith, confidence, and trust in you, knowing that evil will not prevail in the midst of active love. Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit within us being activated in all that we do, God. Thank you for you prospering Carver Design Studio, God. And Father, allow us to be a blessing as you bring sign contracts, as you bring opportunities to push the limits of what we can do through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Father, allow each and every one of us to be a blessing. I thank you for Dr. Susie, God. Bless her with her new job, God. Father, I thank you for her future assignments being greater than the assignment she's already had, God. Father, I thank you for you taking her to new heights of purpose, power, and praise in all that she does. I thank you for you blessing Eric right now, God. Father, bless him greatly. Strengthen him, God. Allow your angels to surround him right now. And, Father, I thank you for all of those charged with his care, just operating at the absolute highest levels, God. And right now I thank you for your Holy Spirit touching his body, God. I thank you for you delivering him and doing a supernatural work, God, knowing that he calls upon you. He speaks with you, communes with you daily, regularly in your word, God. Father, he is faithful to you, God. Father, I thank you for you honoring his faithfulness and allowing all of us who benefit from his service to you, God, to see your hand in his life. God, I thank you for you having received much glory from having blessed all of us over the years. And Father, we continue to expect even greater blessings than we've ever seen before because you are God and you will be glorified in all that you do for us, to us, and through us. Father, allow us to stay in your word. Allow your word to stay in us. Allow us to walk in love and carry our cross enthusiastically as we serve our friends and family members and those who we are assigned to. And Father, give us the humility to allow us to be ministered to by those that you've assigned us to, so that we can be meek to your word and we can grow in love and we can teach others to grow in love as well by our example and what we do. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.